Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We are going to begin our reading at verse 11 and then read through the end of the chapter. Second Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 11. What we hear now is God's Word. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we come to the end of our series on the book of 2 Corinthians. We began this series back in September of last year, and I believe that this is our 24th sermon on the book, so we have taken our time going through it. Tonight, we come to the final few sentences of the letter, and we see that even as this letter draws to a close, Paul giving his final greetings, he will once again rehearse the two major themes that he has talked about throughout the letter. Those two major themes, I trust you know by now, the defense of his apostleship and his call to the church to live for Jesus Christ, to live as God's people. Now, I've called tonight's message Paul's Leftovers. You know what leftovers are, kids. That's when on Monday night, you don't quite finish all the meatloaf, and on Tuesday night, you don't quite finish all the potatoes, and on Wednesday night, you don't quite finish all the green beans, and Thursday, it shows up as a casserole. All those bits and pieces now put together. Now, it's still good, it's still delicious, but it's a little from here and a little from there. And that's kind of where I began as I looked at these last few verses of 2 Corinthians, a little bit here and a little bit there. But digging a little bit deeper, I do think even in these last few verses, there is a theme that Paul works with as he closes the letter. And that theme in these last few verses is live at peace. That's how he's going to close the letter. Live at peace. Live at peace with the Apostle Paul. Live at peace in the church with each other. And live at peace with God. And those same final words that Paul brings to the Corinthian church, as he has throughout this series, he brings to us as well. We are called, as God's people, to live at peace. Paul begins. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. In other words, be restored. And what he's referring to is being restored to him. They had been at odds with him. They had claimed he wasn't a true apostle. They had claimed he was only doing it for the money. Paul's saying, aim at restoration, that we can be at one again. We can be at peace with each other. And that restoration will come about when they acknowledge the truth. When they recognize and acknowledge that he is a true apostle of God. That's what will bring about the restoration, acknowledging the truth of who Paul is and his word to them. Remember, Paul founded this church. They knew Paul. He was the one who brought them the gospel. And so Paul says, aim for restoration. Recognize the truth of who I am and the truth of my message to you. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Some of you may have a footnote in your Bible that reads those words this way, listen to my appeal. Now, I don't want to get into a lot of discussion about the exegesis of this particular phrase, but I do believe that the footnote is a better reading of the text. In our Wednesday night class, we're talking about issues with regard to the translation of the scriptures and how words have a semantic range. Words also change their meaning. Verbs will change their meaning whether they're in the active voice or the passive voice. That's what we have going on here. In the active voice, this verb speaks about comfort. In the passive voice, which is what it is, the better reading is, listen to my appeal. And that also fits the context Paul is talking about. Be restored. Recognize who I am. Listen to my appeal that my message is true. I have been speaking the truth to you. And part of that restoration and that listening to Paul's appeal will not only be recognizing him as a true apostle, but rejection of the false apostles, those so-called super apostles, Paul refers to them, those who were claiming something to themselves that they had no right to. Paul says, listen to the truth, hear my appeal, and listening to the truth will mean a rejection of the error, a rejection of the lie. Listen to my appeal, Paul says. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Recognize the truth and reject the lie. And we have that same challenge that faces us today. Recognizing the truth of what God has said in His Word, that's fundamental. But included in that is rejecting anything that would go against the Word of God. That would be the lie, not the truth. And yet so often, it seems like we want to find some way to accommodate. Isn't there some way we could understand this in a good light? We try to find an accommodation with the lie. Paul says, no, listen to my appeal. Be committed to the truth and to the truth alone. Be willing to call a lie a lie. Now, we do that lovingly. We do that gently. But we may not entertain anything that would challenge or undermine the truth of the gospel. That's what Paul brought to them. This is the truth of the gospel. This is what God has done for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Anything that would undercut that, anything that would undermine that, would have to be rejected, would be rejected again today. We wouldn't try to find some accommodation. We talk about the solas of the Reformation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that fundamental truth, these solas, these alones, must remain in our understanding of the gospel. Not to water down the significance of what God has revealed in His Word, that basic truth. We must not water down the call of the gospel, that it is a call to all who would embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the call of the gospel tonight. If you are in an unreconciled place with God, it does not matter what you have done in the past. Recognize Him this evening. Embrace Jesus Christ tonight. That call goes out. And we don't water down that call. We don't say it's okay with continuing to live in this unconfessed sin. No, we confess our sins to God. We embrace Jesus Christ and know the truth, the fullness, the glory of salvation. Paul calls them to reconcile with him and the word that he brought. Finally, brothers, aim for restoration and listen to my appeal. Be restored to peace. Peace with the Apostle Paul. They were called to peace not only with him, but to peace with each other. He goes on. Agree with one another. Again, I like the original language better. He says, basically, be of the same mind. Be of the same mind. Now, by that, we've talked about this last week, I think, it doesn't mean that we need to agree on every single detail. But on the basics of the truth, we must absolutely agree. The truth we confessed earlier in the Apostles' Creed, we must absolutely be in lockstep on that. That truth that then unifies us and gives us peace. Unity in the truth. As we said last week, not uniformity. We must be unified in principles, but recognize that there may be diversity in application, and we can still live at peace with each other. We must never mistake the application of a principle for the principle itself. What's an example of that? We are all convicted of the principle that we are called to keep the Lord's day holy. We hear that from the law of God every Sunday morning. Keep the Lord's day holy. That's the principle on which we all agree. But exactly what that looks like might be applied in different ways from family to family. I grew up in a house that was very strict on what we could and could not do on the Lord's Day. That is how my parents applied the principle in our home. We did very much the same with our children. But there's others who have the same conviction of the necessity of keeping the Lord's Day holy, that might apply that principle in a different way. That does not and must not undermine the peace that we have. We agree. We agree on the principle. It's the application where we might have a difference of opinion. We think of our worship service. We think of coming to the Lord's table. And we all agree it's a good thing to come to the Lord's table. But there are different ways to apply that principle. Whether or not the elements are distributed to you as you sit there, or whether you come forward, that's a matter of application. We don't let things like that divide us. Even with regard to how often we come to the table. Whether that be every week or every month or every 3 months, that's an application of the principle that it is a good thing to come to the table. We are to be at peace, not allowing the application to be confused for the principle itself. God calls his people to live at peace with one another. Have the same mind. Not that we apply everything exactly the same way, but on the fundamentals, on the basics, we have the same mind with each other. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. That was certainly a cultural way of expressing the peace that they had with each other. Today we might say, be willing to give someone a hearty handshake. That'd be an expression of that peace that we have. Maybe it means I have a willingness to talk with someone
We don't avoid certain people when we come to church. We are to live at peace, not only in our thinking, but also in our actions. Greet one another with this warm greeting. Don't let applications of principles keep you from giving that warm greeting to one another. Live at peace with each other. He'll go on in verse 13. All the saints greet you. As a reminder to this particular church, that there is a broader church out there, a broader church which sends them their hearty greeting, but which may not be doing things exactly the same way that they do. And we certainly see that today, even within our Federation of Churches. If you've done any traveling and have gone to different United Reformed Churches, you will know that different churches do things in different ways. The order of worship doesn't always look the same. There may be different ways of doing things. Now, we don't minimize those distinctions. We recognize those distinctions. But even more so, we recognize that which unites us, that we can be at peace with one another on the broader church level. We don't let the application of principles keep us from being brothers and sisters in the Lord. Be at peace with one another. That's Paul's word, final word to the Corinthian church. That's Paul's word to us today. Be at peace as the body of Christ. Be at peace among the body of Christ. And then he closes. He closes with this final doxology, and here the focus shifts just a little bit. With regard to living at peace with Paul, that was something they were responsible for. With regard to living at peace with each other, that was something they were responsible for. But with regard to living at peace with God, that is something God is responsible for and is a gift to his church. He ends with this beautiful Trinitarian doxology, one of the few places in Scripture that we see all three persons of the Trinity active in one particular action, bringing a blessing to God's people. He begins this final blessing, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives Christ his full title. He is the Lord. Children, Lord means ruler. Lord means master. The grace of this master, he is our master because he has paid the price. He has bought us to be his own. And as our master, he's not a harsh master to us, but he is one who lives at peace with us through the grace that he gives. The grace of this Lord, the grace of this ruler, the grace of the one who has bought us be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus, that name that reminds us of what he came to do. He is our Savior from sin. And how did he save us? He saved us and gave us new life through his death. We talked about this morning in our catechism class, how Jesus would be willing to leave the glory of heaven, to give up that blessed intertrinitarian fellowship, and to come down to earth and have a life of suffering that he might save his people from their sins. The grace of that Jesus, that one who died on the cross to make peace between God and man, because he was the God-man. That grace be with you. The grace of the Lord
Jesus Christ. Christ, his title, which reminds us that he is the anointed and promised Messiah. He is the one who they had looked for so many years. Anointed to be our prophet and priest and king. As our prophet, the one who declares to us the word of God. The one who speaks to us in that holy word. As our priest, the one who offered up himself for us and who continues even now to intercede for his people. The one who is praying for you. May that grace rest upon you. The grace of Christ, who is also the King, the one who rules and reigns over all creation. That's how Paul closes. Live at peace with that God. This is the gift he has given you, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God, and here referring to God the Father. The love of God the Father be yours. That electing love. That love by which the Father chose a people for his very own from before the foundations of the world. May that love be yours. May you recognize that God has chosen to love you simply for his own good pleasure. Not because of anything you have done, not because of anything you will do. God simply chose to lavish his love upon you. Be at peace with that God, the Father, who has given his love to you, that you might be elect as one of his own, and who continues to watch over and sustain you. It is a sustaining love, as providentially God cares for us day after day after day. May that love be yours. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship that we have with the Spirit and the fellowship that we have in the Spirit. We have fellowship with the Spirit. God has poured out his Spirit upon his people. God dwells within his church by the power of the Spirit. We confess every Sunday night that we believe in the communion of the saints. With whom do the saints commune? They commune with Christ because of the Spirit. The fellowship that we have with the Spirit, and Paul, again, that fellowship that we have in the Spirit. The fellowship that we have with the church. We are bound together as the people of God. That's what he reminds them at the end of this letter. That's one of his points. Live as God's people. Live as the church. Recognize the fellowship that you have in the Spirit. A fellowship by which we share our joys. We share our sorrows with each other. We share our fears. We share our concerns. We are not alone. Like we talked about this morning. There was one, there was not two, but we have more than that. Two are better than one. And we have that God in the Spirit who has brought us together. Fellowship with one another, fellowship in the Spirit as a blessing for God's people. It may seem like this last few verses is simply Paul's leftovers. Paul wants to close with one final word to them, a word that expresses those two themes he has talked about throughout this letter. Be at peace with me. Recognize my apostleship. Recognize my word is true. Reject the falsehood. Live at peace with each other. Know that God has brought you together. Be of one mind in all the essentials, recognizing the differences that there might be. And as God's people,
recognize the blessing of the peace you now have with God, a peace which was accomplished by God himself. He says, finally, brothers, rejoice. Rejoice in what God has done for you. Rejoice in what God is doing for you as you live together in peace. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. As Paul gave that blessing and that word to the church, so I give it to you tonight. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we as your people do rejoice. We rejoice in what you have done for us. As we come to the close of this letter, a letter which we've taken some time to look at, to be instructed in, Lord God, use these words, even these final words of Paul, to continue to help us to live as your people, to help us to embrace the truth wholeheartedly, to reject the lie, to do only that which you have told us in your holy word as how to live. Lord God, don't allow small differences in our applications to keep us from peace with one another, but allow us to greet each other in the Lord, Lord's Day after Lord's Day and day after day. And we thank you, Lord God, for your grace in your Son Jesus Christ, for your love given to us, and for the fellowship that we have with the Spirit and in the Spirit. May these truths encourage us, strengthen us, and bless us as we seek to live as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.